Sasquatch Hunters. It's Jack here with Expedition Sasquatch. You know, the podcast about killing Bigfoot. I might sound a little bit down. I've got news, and I've got bad news. Explicitly, implicitly, specifically, I do not have any good news. Just news and bad news. So, we will start with the new news. I'm recording this from my home in the mountains of the Cherry Log community on the outskirts of the town of Ellijay, Georgia, mere miles from my beloved Bigfoot research facility. This may sound like good news, but it is, in fact, just news. As for the bad news, well, it turns out that I may be single-handedly responsible both for letting the Sasquatch escape again and also for starting a war, which is likely to consume many thousand lives over the next several months. So, like I said, it is bad news. I guess I better start at the beginning of things, right? Well, no, technically first I gotta do an ad read, and then I gotta start at the start of the beginning of where all the things started happening at. Expedition Sasquatch is sponsored by Mountain Town Coffee Roasting. Find them online at georgiamountaincoffee.com. It's good. That's all the ad read I have the energy for today, folks. If you'll recall, in our last episode and installment of my trials and tribulations, after I barbecued a bunch of cactus xenomorphs out here in Arizona, I was pardoned by the president of the alleged United States and granted passage on a damn fool land submersible, which was destroyed in a sudden pressure event, as was inevitable, considering it was made of mylar and quadrillions of tons of rock and stone upon that is generally assumed to be enough to breach its structural integrity. Anyhow, the doomed craft was attacked by mole men. The mole men took the crew prisoner, whom I promised to help free, and they were a bunch of rich pieces of human refuse in exchange for several hundred K American, because that's, you know, the fiat of where I'm at, up front. That's about the size of things, right? So, anyhow, that's where we left off, and the last one, and the tale I got to tell today picks up right about there, but for reasons which will become obvious in a few minutes, I ain't got a single recording from that time. And it's not that I forget to record things. I recorded the whole time. It was actually legitimately, like, award-winning content, you know? It was magnificent. It's truly some of the best guerrilla reporting I have ever done. In fact, I would say that it would earn me international, potentially like interdimensional recognition for quality of narrative structure and unbiased opinions. But as with all good things, it is lost and gone. So much was lost. But before I get too far ahead of myself, I guess I better tell the story, right? And now I gotta be honest, I ain't no good at telling stories. That's why it hurts so much that I lost what was lost, and that's why I record things as they happen, rather than after the fact. But I'm going to try, folks, because this is one hell of a story. So y'all remember a few months ago when I dug up Ronald Reagan's corpse and burned his bones and used the ash in an ink composition, which I drew sigils for an incantation to bring about the dissolution of the government of the alleged United States and to replace the government with arachnocratic governance by a race of subterranean spider dwellers. Y'all remember that, right? Well, it worked. Well, that's the crux of the story. It worked. Yeah. The mole men thought that the titanium land submersible was an assault from the surface dwellers. And the reason they thought that the surface dwellers were assaulting them is because they actually were being invaded by spider folk. See, the mole men, they don't see so good. And they couldn't really, they don't really possess the capacity for differentiating four people and a single spider person. And frankly, they have plenty of other reasons to wage war on humanity, chief among them my tendency to blow up and or incinerate dozens of their kind at a stretch while trying to find and kill me a Bigfoot. Look, I'm not proud of it. Any loss of life is tragic unless it's the Sasquatch who must be found and slain. But I am hunting the Sasquatch, and collateral damage is inevitable, like those hikers I puzzled a few years back, or that time I barbecued some lizard folks. But, you know, spider people, they were answering the dang old magical incantation I enacted to attempt to bring about a 1,000-year arachnocracy, and the mold men were in the way. So the spider people were just doing what my magical compulsive incantation had compelled the spider people to do. And the mold men were just responding to the perceived invasion. This is as nature would drive the forces. And here I was in the middle of it all, in the tunnels under Detroit, trying to make it to the surface with a bunch of rich dipshit asshole sumbitches and a balloon pilot who never should be trusted to make any decisions for any reason because of the severe lack of judgment he demonstrated when volunteering to pilot a homemade Mylar land submersible. And then I found myself face to face with an army of spider folk. It were what we in the business call a rough situation. See, I'm sailing this lake of stew, and I didn't bring an oversized spoon that doubles as a paddle. Before I continue, it is important for me to note that almost every person in my party survived. And that the one who didn't survive, whom barely classifies as a person, was the billionaire owner of a social media company. And I didn't stop it from happening. And I'm kind of glad it happened, but I didn't do it. I don't commit crimes. This is a very important distinction for everyone here to comprehend, listeners. I want you to understand. And the crimes I did commit, I have been pardoned for twice. Two pardons. I'm clean, and the world is a better place with yet another dead billionaire in it. One ain't enough. Oh yeah, Jimbo made me promise not to say anything else about that, so, you know, take from that what you will. Anyhow, I found myself standing in front of the leader of an army of spider folk, and also the army of spider folk, and a couple of billionaires, and a man with extremely flawed judgment. I was holding a flamethrower, as is my way. Every human in this place, excepting myself, of course, started screaming up a storm, which, of course, alerted the mole men to our presence and swiftly brought them to our location. In the meantime, the leader of the Spiderfolk recognized me on account of the ancient magics that I had used to summon up the Spiderfolk, and started hissing at me in his arachnocratic tongue. And, the Mole Man then also started to try to talk to me in Mole Man speak. It was hectic. It was chaotic. It was overstimulating for me, personally. It actually kind of sounded like... Now, I ain't up to speed on my mole or arachna, but that's my best assessment of what it was like. So, I'm going to be honest. I engaged my flamethrower and all hell broke loose. Next several minutes are reduced to a blur of flame, dripping ichor, screaming. All of my personal effects, including my recording device, were destroyed. The billionaire owner of a large social media company was... I'm gonna go with killed by mole men, since that implicates me the least. Either way, he was fairly crispy. More than a dozen mole men fled screaming from the room, just flames licking and flicking, dancing every which way. I don't think I injured any of them spider people, but it's hard to say for sure. I still can't really speak spider. The next clear memory I have is one of sitting on, like, I think it's called the thorax. It's the bit behind where the human parts end and the spider parts start. But yeah, I was sitting on the thorax, the back, the rump, the big old spider dumpy of a spider person. And we was just running as fast as eight legs could carry us up a tunnel and out up here into the open. Into the airs of Northern Virginia, about 30 miles from the U.S. Capitol. My party, save for the crispy billionaire and I, found ourselves in the little town of Woodbridge, Virginia. Now, if you recall from a much earlier episode, I've spent some time in Woodbridge. I've got fans out that way, so I pull out my cellular telephone and my lipper. And I started contacting every last person I knew in the area. The billionaires called themselves some Ubers and whatnot and got the hell out of Dodge. Me and the pilot, whose name I discovered is Willie, eventually got in touch with my good friend and longtime listener, Darius Parsidoust. Dare offered to take us to the airport, but I had other ideas. I bid the spider folks farewell and left them to engage the U.S. military in combat for control for the United States. I believe they will be successful, but I mourn for all the Spiderfolk lives that will be lost in the process. Me, Willie, and Dare proceeded to use some of the several hundred thousand dollars I swindled out of the dead rich shithead and purchased a very small pickup truck, which looks almost identical to the very small pickup truck I purchased a few episodes ago, except this one has room for about three people in the cab. And then me and Willie kidnapped Dare, and the three of us headed home to Elijah. Ain't really home for them, but you know, with a war between the most evil army that's ever existed in the history of humanity and a legion of magical spider folk, it's probably a good idea that all of us get as far away from DC as possible. Now, of course, it's a 10-hour drive from Woodbridge, Virginia to LJ, and these little trucks only hold about 4 gallons of gas in them, so we had to stop pretty often. I got a teacup bladder, so I needed it anyhow. I bought myself some new recording gear and replaced several of my more common pieces of Bigfoot hunting paraphernalia on one of these here stops. And wouldn't you know it, while I'm standing there in line trying to check out at this place, what used to be a Bass Pro Shop and is now just kind of a general sporting goods outlet, I seen the dang old Squatch himself. Sucker just walked right past the front door. I made for the door and tried to level a rifle at him and was promptly tackled by 7 or 8 good old boys who thought I was committing an act of terror. Thankfully, I survived, but I might never get another chance to kill that dang old Bigfoot. Anyhow, I'm home now. We are rebuilding and hunkering down for the Spider Wars, attempting to broker peace with the Mole Men and getting ready for our next adventure. I got a call from some folks down in Florida that they've been seeing something unusual, so I guess I'll head down there and check it out. Hopefully it's a skunk ape, which is close enough to a Squatch that it'll count. Either way, until next time, my faithful listeners, I have been Jack, the Squatch Hunter and one day soon, hopefully, Squatch Killer. Good luck, good night, and happy hunting. Expedition Sasquatch will return soon with another gripping adventure in a few weeks. I heard a rumor that it involves that Disney rat. If you enjoyed this episode, you can find a small selection of Expedition Sasquatch merchandise, including floppy disks containing episodes of the podcast, t-shirts, posters, and even handmade zombie Bigfoot action figures in the new LJ television store. There's a link at the top of our website. Visit expeditionsasquatch.org for more information. Expedition Sasquatch is brought to you under a Creative Commons CC by SA 4.0 license. It was written by Andrew Roach and voiced by me, Josh Allen. Our theme music today was by Connor Dillon, probably. Find his music at connordillon.bandcamp.com. You can find more Expedition Sasquatch at expeditionsasquatch.org and catch our TV show from New LJ Television. Expedition Sasquatch.